That he keeps my heart is muscles contracting every day so I can continue to live this calmly. As Audrey says, he could speak the word and reduce me to cosmic dust. But he continues to love me, wretched as I am. Another Hebrew name for God is El Elyon, or God Most High. He's not merely the God of the Jews. He's the God above all gods. No one is more sacred. The Bible is filled with dire warnings against worship from any man or anything other than the one who loves us first. One of the most poignant passages of the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Acts. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by man. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set out for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him, and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being." The God above all gods is reaching out and offering fellowship with me. His ear is ever ready to hear my prayers. His mighty angel is poised to do his bidding on my behalf. I don't know about you, but this is humbling stuff. In our world today, many men are positioning themselves in positions of power and wealth and influence. We watch the news with fear and trepidation. However, it's vastly comforting to know that God is in control and he's sovereign over these events. He's not caught unaware by elections and wars and protests by it. As the psalmist says, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. All this posturing and bellowing will be silenced. Man's worship of power, money, status, beauty, or anything besides God will be shown as foolishness. I'm preaching to myself here too. As an influential man who has been humbled in Jesus' presence, the Apostle Paul repeated this warning from Isaiah. "For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It's written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess to God." In light of this sobering reminder of God's authority and incredible redeeming love and the reason of doxology found in Romans 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgment and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God what God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So, how do we respond to all this? I suggest that it should be threefold. Joyful praise, willing obedience, and reverent silence as the circumstances dictate. God's majesty elicits praise not only from the lips of men, but from all creation, to the joy of the Creator. As the angels proclaimed at Jesus' birth, "Glory to God in the highest." In Psalm 150, it says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power and praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet." In Isaiah 44, it says, "Sing for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done this. Shout aloud, O earth beneath. Burst into song, you mountains, you forests, and all your trees. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, He displays his glory in Israel. But going beyond that, our obedience is also an act of worship. As God's priest Samuel said, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the sound of man. We delude ourselves into thinking that our offerings of time, money, and spiritual health are his heart's desire, a sure sign of our dedication to him. He simply wants us to love him and to show it by listening to his spirit and by following his prompting. That may indeed involve our money or our time or our voices, stemming from hearts of loving gratitude, but trusting obedience is the purest form of worship. My daily heart needed this reminder that every cell in my body, every intake of oxygen into my lungs, and every sigh of my spirit belongs to God. And there's a time for silence before God. There's much wisdom in knowing when to be quiet before our Maker. He's heard our pleading prayers. He deserves our reverence and our worship. Margaret Nanon Shaw writes, paying attention in silence is not simply for the sake of listening to the all and unheard sounds around us, nor is it exclusively an aesthetically motivated sensory deprivation. Instead, it's the tuning of heart and mind to attend to the sounds that truly matter. For the Christian, prayerful listening is the opportunity to attune our hearts to the voice of God. Indeed, a silent heart is often the only fitting response to the overwhelming holiness of God's presence. As the ancient prophet wrote, but the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth be silent before him. Wise King Solomon wrote, do not be quick with your mouth, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven, and you are on the earth, so let your words be true. So let's take some time now to worship him, to meditate on his beauty, his mercy, and his holiness. Feel free to take any posture that seems fitting for the moment. We're going to take a couple of minutes in quiet and worship meditation. And afterwards, we're going to listen to a song and listen to his message. May God richly bless you with his presence today. Thank you for allowing us to be in your presence today. May our hearts be lifted up to you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness and your majesty this week. Help us to trust you and obey you, and to give the glory that's due your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh God.